You're live, Ellie.
Thank you very much. Hello, welcome back to a very special Shir of Shir Enjoyment. This is Ellie Nyman. I always say I cannot replace Rav Mordechai Plotzker, but I will give him Shir in his stead. We are learning Le'ilah Nishmas, Chaim Baruch Ben Zavol, Perel Bas Pinchas, Miriam Leiba Bas Aharon, Chava Sarah Bas, Chava Esther Bas Avram. May their neshamas have an aliyah. We're davening and learning for the refu shalema of all those who are sick. And may our shir be a schut for Kol Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael. When Rav Jake asked me to give shir, I was hesitant. I wasn't really sure whether I wanted to, but I really wanted to speak about what's been going on. The shir is, by the way, as well, has been sponsored. The shir has been sponsored and is dedicated to the victims in Pittsburgh, and as well as to the survivors, the injured. I was very anxious to speak as I wanted to address it. It's very hard for many to process what happened in Pittsburgh today, and it's very hard even for Magide Shirim. While this shir is apolitical, we do not speak politics on the shir. It is solely Talmud Torah. I think it's still important to slightly address what goes on at this particular time. It is important that we have achdut, we have unity among the Jewish people. And I wish I was more equipped to really speak meaningfully about what happened. It's hard for me right now, given everything, to speak in a meaningful way. So the only thing I could say is that as Jews, we will move forward. We have moved forward for the last 2,000-3,000 years while we're in Galut and the exile, and we will continue to move forward. It's certainly a tragedy that has left me unable to really even describe it. So maybe at another time we'll talk about various topics related to it. But for right now, I just wanted to say that the Jewish community is going to move on. We're going to be united, and we're going to move forward. Nothing is going to stop Jews from being Jews and living life the way we want to, with a Torah perspective and in love and happiness and not letting what happened affect us. With that backdrop, I do want to go to speak about a regular program shir. Before what happened today in Pittsburgh, it really was called for a very joyous Shabbos, because it was the Shabbos project. Obviously, before what happened in Pittsburgh, it was called for, and it was really a very exciting thing. I want to focus on that. I don't want to focus on the tragedy, although it's very upsetting, but the best way to process is to move forward. And I don't know what to speak about in a meaningful way of what happened, so I want to instead speak about the Parshas Vayera and to tie it into what was going on in the Shabbos project in terms of what it was. And I think that's something that would be a step forward. This week's parsha was Parshas Vayera, and in Parshas Vayera, the parsha starts off that Abraham invites three people, and he thinks they are people. They're actually malachim. He knows that they're Ovdei Avodah Zarah. He asked them to wash their feet. So I have two questions on the first story. Question number one: why is it that the Torah tells us that it says Yukach na ma'amayim? Avram says you should take a little bit of water and bread, and then it goes into specific detail that he gave milk and butter and meat and all that. Why does the Torah tell us all these details of what he served? Why not just say he served a little? He offered a little food and gave a lot of. Why get into such details of what he offered, of what he gave to the Malachim? Question number two: if you look at last week's parshas, parshas Lech Lecha, so it says that Asher Asu v'Charan, it was made in Charan. So Rashi says on those words that Abraham was misguided the men. He converted the men to monotheism, to believe in Hashem, and he went around and he spoke about Hashem. If you look in Parshas Vayera, what we just read today, so there's no explicit mention of Hashem, although he does hint to it a couple times where he says to the Malachim, he says to the people, he doesn't realize they're Malachim, wash your feet, so he's afraid of Avodah Zarah, but really, there's no explicit mention of Hashem. Why is it that last week he went around talking about Hashem, and this week he talks about food, but he doesn't ever explicitly mention Hashem until later on the Malachim say to him, you're going to have a baby and whatever, but there's no mention of Hashem. And for that, I have a story. This is a personal story of Dovi ben Shoshan, a personal account of what happened to him. A few years ago, he got a call from a Rosh Yeshiva, and it was a very prominent Rosh Yeshiva, and on a Friday afternoon, and he said to the Rosh Yeshiva, hello, Rosh Yeshiva, to what do I owe this honor? I'm very happy that you called me. What do I owe this honor? The Rosh Yeshiva replied, there's a certain bacher. He hasn't kept Shabbos in 3 years. He's been to psychologists and psychiatrists and even askanim, community leaders. Is there any way you can talk to him? And so the Rav Dovi says, you know, Rosh Yeshiva, officially based in Lakewood, where this Rosh Yeshiva lives, but I spend 7 days in Brooklyn. I'm sorry, I just don't have the time to be able to do it. And no matter what he said, the Rosh Yeshiva would press on and continue. Please, it's a Mace Mitzvah. I don't have anybody else. Please, can you do it? And no matter what Rav Dovi explains, no matter what he said, the Rosh Yeshiva just pressed on and on. Until finally, the Rav Dovi said to the Rosh Yeshiva, is it possible, Rosh Yeshiva, and this was on the phone, that is it possible that this boy is related to you? And there was silence on the phone. And the Rosh Yeshiva's voice cracked. Yes, replied Rosh Yeshiva, it's my son. And so Rav Dovi said, if so, you could send him over. What are you going to say to him? Said Rosh Yeshiva on the phone. I don't know what I'm going to say to him, said Rav Dovi. Honestly, I have no idea. Hashem should put the words in my mouth. Rav Dovi turned to his wife, and as they were about to pack to Brooklyn, he said, it's going to be a few minutes. I'm sorry, I got a phone call, and he explains that she understood. A few minutes later, the boy gets to the door. He's wearing a ripped jeans, heavy metal t-shirt, a bandana, a ponytail, the 70s look, with a sheepish smile. He's 16 years old, and he gets to the door, and he opens the door. And the rabbi, Rav Dovi, opens the door, and the kid says, are you the rabbi? And Rav Dovi says, it's not like that. Who are you calling rabbi? It's not like that. I just want to chill with you a few minutes. We're just going to hang out and talk about the world. And so the kid walks in, and they're sitting in their living room, and they start talking, and the kid says, so are you going to talk about Shabbos and Hashem and Tefillin and Mitzvot and Torah and all that? And Rav Dovi says, nah, I just want to talk about everything and anything about the world. And so they start talking and talking, and Rav Dovi says to him, he turns to this 16-year-old young man, and he says, so I want to know, what are you passionate about? What makes you tick? And the boy responds, the saxophone. And Rav Dovi says, yeah, get out. Really? Wow. You look like you're really good. I'll tell you what. I think I'm looking at a star. I got to see it for myself. You got 15 minutes. Go out, get that saxophone, and come right back. The boy's jaw dropped. He shrugs his shoulder. He says, okay. And he walks out. And when he walked out, Rav Dovi wasn't sure whether he'd come back. Several minutes later, though, the boy actually did come back. He's standing at the door. He's gripping the saxophone like a mother holds a newborn baby. And he walks in like he's 6 feet tall. He's so proud of that saxophone. And Rav Dovi turns to his wife and he says, "We're going downstairs. Please don't be alarmed." And so this Rav Dovi and the saxophone kid, they come in and they go downstairs, and the boy starts playing on the saxophone. And then the boy says to the rabbi, "Rabbi, I want to play you a song." And the rabbi says, "Well, let's see, a song. How about Mordechai ben David, Let My People Go?" "Mordechai who?" said the kid. "Oh, so you don't listen to Jewish music," said Rav Dovi. "Jewish music, Rabbi? Come on, get real." "Uh-huh, I see," said Rav Dovi. "Well, I don't really know English music, so you're going to have to play something." "No," said the saxophone boy. "I want to play you a song. I want to play you a song." "Well, I don't know. Do you know this? Do you know this? Do you know this?" "No, I honestly," it says Rav Dovi, "I don't know this song. I don't know this song. I don't know this song." And so finally going back and forth until Rav Dovi says, "You know, I remember 10 years ago, many, many years ago, I was on the subway and this guy came onto the train and he had this thing where instead of just asking for money, he decided to sing and he got everybody into it. It was very exciting. And I don't remember," says Rav Dovi, "the whole song, but I remember the high part. It was 'Lean on Me.'" And so he says to the boy, "You know this song, 'Lean on Me.'" And the boy gets excited. "Oh, that's a great song. It has a great saxophone." And so the boy starts playing. And he says, "Rabbi, you're not singing." He says, "Well, I only know the high part." And so he starts singing, "Lean on Me, Lean on Me." And so the boy starts playing. And Rav Dovi starts singing. And Rav Dovi explains this kid was really good. He was really good. And he was so driven. He was so taken that literally he leaned on a little Tyke's kitchen set and he's kicking his feet in the air like this is it. And they're singing and he's playing and the rabbi is singing and he's playing and the rabbi is singing until in the middle the boy with the saxophone stops. He just stops. He puts down the saxophone. He goes up to the rabbi, gives him a hug, and he walks out. And he thought this was it. Rav Dovi thought this was it. He turns to his wife. He says, "Okay, let's go to Brooklyn." And they head to Brooklyn. About a couple hours before Shabbos, he gets a phone call from the Rosh Hashiva. "Rav Dovi," says the Rosh Hashiva. And Rav Dovi says, "Uh-oh, let's see. What's going to happen? Rav Dovi, did you talk to my son?" "Yes," said Rav Dovi. "Did you talk to my son about Shabbos?" "No," said Rav Dovi. "Hashem?" "No," said Rav Dovi. "Did you talk to him? Torah, mitzvot, tefillin, sittis?" "No," said Rav Dovi. "David, what did you say to my son?" I said to him, said Rav Dovi, "Lean on me." Rav Dovi, the Rosh Hashiva says, "Rav Dovi, I don't know what you're talking about. But a half an hour ago, there was a knock at the door, and my wife was in the kitchen cooking for Shabbos, and there was my son. And he said, 'Abba, it's been 3 years. I want to come home for Shabbos.' What did you say to my son? Did you talk about Hashem?" No, said Rav Dovi, "Not yet." "Did you talk about Shabbos?" No, said Rav Dovi, "Not yet." "Did you talk about tefillin, sittis, mitzvahs?" No, said Rav Dovi. "What did you say to my son?" asked Rosh Hashiva. Rav Dovi replied, "I spoke to him about a saxophone." And I think that's really the answer to the first two questions. Rav Dovi explains that first you have to connect and then preach. Nobody wants to be told something without connecting first. You have to first connect and then talk about Torah Judaism. And I think that's the answer to the first two questions. Question number one, I said, why does the Torah give such details of what Avram gave? Because it's trying to teach us that Avram cared about every little detail. Avram was just trying to connect to these people. He thought they were of the Avodah Zarah, so he wasn't going to just talk about Hashem. He was gonna try to give them food. Why is it that he doesn't mention an Hashem when last week's parsha he did? Because that was the same idea. He was trying to connect And then later on, when he had a good relationship with these three seemingly of the Avodah Zarah, so he would then talk about Hashem. They turn the table though, and they talk. They took. They say that he's going to have a baby. And if you look at, there's a certain mitzvah. It's called V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. You should love Hashem your God. And the Gemara says, well, how do you love Hashem? How is that possible to love Hashem? Gemara explains, you cause others to love Hashem. If you cause others to love Hashem, that's loving Hashem. And the Torah Tamima on that pasuk says that the one example is like from Avraham, that Avraham caused others to love Hashem. And that is really the secret of the Shabbos project was really all about. And we want to cause others to love Hashem. We want to try to celebrate Shabbos, but to really do it in such a way that we love Shabbos and we appreciate the people. And it's not just if you just talk Torah Judaism, so it could really turn people quickly. But if you connect to people, that is really the secret for good things to come. Zelen Amin, wishing everybody bracha tzlach on the learning. Live Torah, love Torah, learn Torah. And I just want to emphasize, we will get through this as a Jewish community. What happened will ultimately unite us, not divide us. Have a Shavua Tov, have a wonderful Kedvach.